Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right, good morning. How's everybody doing? Man, I loved worship so much. I am having a hard time putting into words, but thank these guys one more time. So good. Well, guys, I'm David Olinger. I am one of the pastors here. I'm usually singing with these guys, and it's just such an honor to get to bring the word this week. Matt, our senior pastor, is out of town, and I get the joy of preaching through the book of Ephesians, which I'm incredibly excited to preach about because it was actually the book of Ephesians when I first realized that I wanted to give my life to serve the biggest plan that God has put in the world, his master plan, his strategy for seeing this world united to him is the church. And I was reading through the book of Ephesians as I was in Bible school. My plan was 100% to start a business and just to go into construction. And I was headed that way. And I remember reading my Bible outside one day and reading about the church and saying, I have got to give my life towards what God is giving himself for, the church. And I still do some business stuff, but I also have been deeply affected by the book of Ephesians. And I want you guys to turn there with me. Did you guys bring your Bible today? Yeah, it was a really quiet, yes, I did bring my Bible. It was more of an, I brought my iPhone, I brought my iPad. But we have to accept that as pastors these days, don't we? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm actually starting in the middle part of the book, and this is why. Because Ephesians is really put into two different sections. The first section, 1 through 3, says one message, and then 4 through 6 is something almost completely different. But 4 through 6 is a response to 1 through 3. And 4 starts off this way. I therefore, this is Paul speaking, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, listen to this, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Paul is, he has just said something, and we're going to go back and figure out what he said. But in response to what he said in three verses, he said, I now am begging you. I've got something, a passionate plea that I'm urging you to do. And Paul is filled with desire for the people of God to respond in a certain way with their actions, with their decisions, and with their lives. Much like I'm standing here today, much like many pastors across the city and across this country are standing today, opening God's word and praying and hoping that there's a response inside of the people of God. Praying that something connects, praying that we continually are being affected by the words of Scripture. And I'm sitting just this week reading through this book of Ephesians, and I'm putting my sermon together, and I've got one chapter in, and I've got tears streaming down my face, and I look down and I see eight pages of notes for the first chapter. I can't tell you the frustration that came upon me in that moment. But imagine how many men are just longing in their congregations to see God move, to see God do something, to see the church become who they really are. And so Ephesians chapter 4, he's begging us to respond, to live a life worthy of God's call. What does it mean to be a Christian? Think about that for a second. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, depending on who you ask, you'll get a variety of answers, but one of the things that will most certainly be included in some of those answers is simply, well, to be a Christian means that you live differently than the world. To be a Christian means that you don't look like the world. To be a Christian means that we live for something other than ourselves. And we could go on and on about all the things that it means to be a Christian, all the different things you do, all the different decisions you make. And that is precisely what Paul is saying in verses 4, or chapters 4 through 6. That actions are integral to the Christian life, that behavior actually matters. Behavior matters. You know, a lot of times we preach the scriptures strictly through the lens of justification. And justification is what God has done. Like, you are saved not for your works. You're saved because God did that. You're redeemed because God did that. And most of the time when we preach through justification, and rightly so. I love preaching through justification. That's my absolute favorite. But there's also this thing called sanctification. And sanctification, when you put that lens on, and when you read the Bible through sanctification, that's the lens that I partner with God in the surrendering of my will so that I can be transformed by the power of God's Spirit in me. That is sanctification. And what Paul is going into through 4-6 is he's going into a very sanctifying message. Ephesians 4:6-5, how I live, what I do matters. When I read these chapters, what I really see is I see a future David Olinger sitting down with my son and saying, son, this is how we're going to live as followers of Jesus. Do you know that if you want the ingredients just to be an incredible dad, Ephesians 4-6 is pretty much the ammo that you need to get through most of parenting a young man. I imagine coming in and looking at your boy, sitting down, say, hey, this is how we're going to live. And it goes through these topics. You'll be relieved to hear that what I'm about to say is that I'm going to skim through verses, chapters 4-6 very quickly. But these are the things that he says is humility. It matters. He talks about gentleness, patience, bearing in love, maintaining unity, being steadfast, speaking the truth, putting away the former life, live as new creatures, the new self, new humanity, new humans, to live a life like God lives, righteous and holy. He says to put away falsehood, put away evil talk, bitterness, anger, slander, malice, imitate God, live in love. Live completely free of fornication, impurity, vulgarity, and obscenity. You were once darkness, but now you're light. Be wise. Be a steward of your time. Don't get drunk. I will definitely have that conversation with my kid. If you get drunk, I will. The expression in the Olinger house was, if you do this, I will knock your head off. That was the thing that we... So, and somehow it was a very affectionate term that I still find endearing. Don't get drunk. Be worshipers. Be honoring in marriage. Be honoring in your relationships. Be honoring in your work engagements. And how come? Dad, why? Why is this important? Well, because you're an Olinger. And this is how Olinger men live. I can't wait to have that conversation. And this is what I see. I see that Paul is saying, why do actions matter? Well, because we're the church. Because we're the family of God. We've been born into a brand new family. We are the essence of Jesus in this world. We are the representation of who God is. And in this family, in this new family, in this new humanity, this is how we live. This is our identity. So what's wrong with getting drunk? What's wrong with sleeping with my girlfriend or my boyfriend? What is such a big deal about crude joking and saying things that should never come out of our mouth? What's the big deal about telling a little white lie, about not shooting it straight, about fudging on your taxes? Surely it's not a big deal if I'm like bitter with this person. If you really saw what they did to me, you'd understand why I can just harbor them in this little prison of hatred. I'm still human after all, right? I'm still imperfect. But most of us, like at one time or another, have all said, like Job said, what is the point of living a righteous life? But one of the first things we need to realize is that before we go into chapters 4-6 and talk about the way we should live, we should understand the gravity of what Paul is saying in 1-3. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, where we're going to spend the rest of our time. If we truly understood the gravity of what Paul is telling us in the first three chapters, then we would feel the urgency to live the way he describes in the last three chapters of this book. Today, I am more giving you a menu of what your week could look like. I'm presenting to you what the book of Ephesians holds for you to dive into. And I promise you, if you dive into this book intimately, yourself and God this week, your life will be changed. Ephesians is one of my absolute favorite books in the Bible. And it's from this place that Paul writes, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling which you have been called. When I was probably 10 years old, I watched this movie. It's still one of my favorite movies. It's called That Thing You Do. Have you guys heard of that movie? Raise your hand if you've watched That Thing You Do. So That Thing You Do is... That was the movie that started it all for me. I wanted to play music so bad after that. And it's a story of this band in this small town of Erie, Pennsylvania. And they basically get this opportunity to play at their high school showcase. And they have these pretty boring songs, but their drummer breaks his arm, Lenny, just really great guy. Or no, it wasn't Lenny. It was this other guy that we all forgot about because he's not important. That's right. So the drummer breaks his arm. And so they got this talent show coming up. They're like, we got to play this thing. And so they go and they find this guy, Guy Patterson. Oh my gosh. I wanted to be Guy Patterson so bad. Guy Patterson, this amazing jazz drummer. And they talk him into leaving his father's appliance store for the night where he sold appliances to come and play drums. And so he gets there. And he takes off on this beat that totally wasn't what the song, how it was written. And you have Jimmy, who's the songwriter, he's super uptight. It's not the way the song goes. It's not the way the song goes. Anyway, what Guy brings to it, it just makes it an absolute hit. This song takes off, and now you're in this movie that is their rise to stardom and fame. And they name themselves The Wonders. It's kind of a play on the words, one hit wonders, right? I did a pretty good job of recapping that movie. And so I just love this movie. And what I think about is how these guys in the band, once they realized what Guy Patterson had to offer, they were begging him. I beg you, like, why would you stay in this appliance shop for the rest of your life? You are so talented. You've got so much to offer. Do you see what is possible if you would come and join us and travel with us, be in this band? We could dot, 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 dot. And they're filled with dreams. They're filled with wonders, begging Guy Patterson to leave. And this is kind of what I'm feeling a little bit here. It's like Paul is, he's looking at the church. He's looking at the body of Christ. He's saying, man, I am begging you guys to understand who you are. I am begging you to understand what is possible. Now, before I go into this message any further, there's a disclaimer. This message is not about you individually, okay? All right? So I know that your mind is just running wild, like I'm about to figure out how great I am. But this message is not about you individually. This message is not about you imagining yourself as this famous rock star or this famous speaker, this famous worship leader. For you young guys, this is not you dreaming into you're the next Justin Bieber. And for you older guys, I guess Patrick Swayze, whatever you guys were. So chill out, okay? So chill out. This message is about us, right? This message is about we. This message is about the body of Christ, not your personal calling, but your corporate identity in Jesus Christ, the people of God, the family of God. So turn with me to Ephesians 1 and read with me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who were in Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom. Now, I want you guys to get ready for this next statement. Which he has lavished on us in all wisdom and all insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, for which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. And here it comes, the mystery of God's will, God's eternal plan. And before I tell you what it is, I mean, I'm just going to pause and say, God is, he's about to reveal something huge. He's about to reveal the thing that I saw when I was in my early 20s that changed everything for me. This has been a mystery, but is about to be made known to the entire world. The plan that is initiated by, actuated by, propelled by God's personal will. Like, this thing is just what he wants to happen. It's to unite all things in him. Things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So look down at these scriptures with me and just scroll down, and you're going to see that God has done a couple things in these scriptures. For one, he gave us a spiritual blessing. Has God given people spiritual blessings? Can you say, I'm not the same? Like, I'm a different person than I used to be. My life has changed. And just to think that God says in the scripture that we just read that we've been given the Holy Spirit as a promise for what's to come. Like, think about that for a second. Like, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be such a significant impact on our lives that we can say, even though I don't see things happening in the world the way I think, it is undeniable that everything God says is true because the way he has changed me through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's how big the Holy Spirit. If you don't have any other evidence in your life, if you don't ever see a miracle, just the fact that you are to be so transformed by the Holy Spirit working in your life, by receiving the Holy Spirit in your life, that alone, the Bible says, is enough for you to say, forever, his words are yes and amen. It is true. I'm the evidence of that. So he's given us spiritual blessings. He's chosen us. It says here he chose us before the foundation of the world. I mean, look around. Before he ever made a star in the sky, or before he ever made a mountain or hung a moon, before he ever made oceans, rivers, before he did any of that, before his creative stroke of brilliance ever happened, he chose us. He chose Awake Church. He chose the body of Christ. He adopted us in verse 5. Verse 7 says he redeemed us and he forgave us. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. He's saying, I have been planning you for a long time to unite all things in him. And friends, can I ask you, are there any things that you can think of right now that need to be united to Christ? Are there any people that will be sitting around the Thanksgiving table with you that desperately need to be united with Christ? Are there any things in your life that are yet to be given to Jesus? But to unite all things. I mean, imagine that. For some of us right now, we're lost because that just seems too big. We're like, there's no way. How could things happen? Like, look what's going on with our country. But God, he's not mincing words and he's not mistakenly said these things. He intends to unite all things in heaven and earth in Christ. That is the plan. And let me tell you right now, just to get this out of the way, I'm going to sound mean for a second, but if we think that we can unite all things in love and just being kind to everyone, if we think that we can have justice without the judge, if we think we can have the kingdom without the king, if we think we can have justice without Jesus and everyone's going to get along, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. There is no justice without Jesus, and there is no kingdom without a king. Like, we're not just trying to get everyone to get along. We're trying to get everyone in Christ so that things can function the way that the world is meant to function. And we don't do that with our loud preaching and our sermons. We do that with our lives, and we do that with our actions. What things can you think of that are yet in your life to be united to Christ? Because the plan that God has is all things. All things. And I love this next section. Why and how did God do this? Well, look back at those same scriptures. Well, one of the things, he did it for a purpose. He doesn't do anything without having a reason for it. He did it for a purpose. He did it according to his will. In other words, this is just what he wants. He wants everything united in Jesus. And he did it to reveal his grace, to the praise of his glorious grace. In verse 6, according to the riches of his glorious grace, and according to his wisdom and insight. In other words, God thinks this is a brilliant idea. God thinks it is just a brilliant idea to unite all things in Christ. And he only exclusively plans to do this through the body of Christ, through the church. Do you realize what I'm saying here? Does anybody starting to shift here a little bit to like, oh, okay, I was going to church, worship was really good. I love that thing that Colin said about time. Like, this is going to be a great day. We're going to go to lunch. Is this anybody coming and saying, wow, maybe I didn't realize how big of a calling I had in my life. Maybe I didn't realize like how important it is that we meet today. Maybe when the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren, maybe there's a way bigger picture than what I realized. The body of Christ. And so we've been predestined. It's been pre-planned. This has always been the intention from the beginning. Did you hear me? It says by the counsel of his will. This is his wisdom, God's insight. So who should we consult about this? Well, consult God about it. If you have any questions, talk to him about it. Who should we run this strategy by? God says, this is my divine playbook. I wrote it. I wrote the whole thing. But I love this in verse 12. It says, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And it is so easy to read through that verse quickly and not realize what it just said. So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. He didn't say so that we might be thankful, or that we might be grateful, or that we might be humble. He said so that we might be, so that we might exist. Awake Church, did you know the divine dream of God is that you would exist, that you would be here, that you would gather, and as important as it is for you to gather, that you would also scatter. And when you start to recognize it, it's not just about our gathering, it's not just about us coming here, but the most important thing, it's just as important as when we scatter and go into all the different spheres of our influence, that we bring the kingdom of God with us there. And then we gather again, and then we scatter, and then we gather, and then we scatter. But it is God's divine dream that you be, that you exist, that you're here, that you're alive, that you are the body of Jesus. I love the Passion Translation. It says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that fulfill the destiny he has given us. For we're joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Ever before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and good works that we should fulfill it. One translation says, you are his masterpiece. We are the masterpiece of God. As much as I love to read that and it just charges me, Paul prays a prayer. And this prayer is, let's read it. It says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying, like, even though you have this identity, this is what God's plan is. This is my prayer. And my prayer is that because you have this calling, my prayer is now that you would have spirit and wisdom, that you'd have revelation of God, that your eyes the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know the hope that you're called, that you would know the riches of his glorious inheritance, saints, that you would know the immeasurable power of his greatness towards you. Because wouldn't it be a shame if you existed? Wouldn't it be a shame if you were here? Wouldn't it be a travesty if you were, but you lacked the wisdom and revelation of Jesus? If the eyes of your heart were not enlightened, if you did not know the hope that you were called, if you did not know the riches of his glorious inheritance, if you had no idea about the immeasurable greatness of his power, wouldn't that be a shame? But can you see, church, that's the part that's still on the table. That's not the guarantee. That's the prayer. That's the prayer that Paul is praying. Like, I'm actively praying because the verdict is out on this. I'm not sure that you do know have the revelation of Jesus. I'm not sure that your eyes have been enlightened. And so he's praying. He's interceding that God would reveal himself so that we would know who we truly are. And that, when I saw that, man, I just wept. I wept for the body of Christ. I wept for the church. I said, God, would you let us be alive in every way? Would you awaken us? If you never knew that, verse 21, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, he seated him in the heavenly places above all rule and authority, gave him dominion and power, and above every name that is named, he put all things under his feet. And he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can you see what God has been creating? Can you see what God has been dreaming into? Man, is this grip anyone else? I hope this quiet is because you are thinking and just praying into this like I am. So chapter 2, I just love, Paul thinks a little bit like I do. It's like, wow, we feel like we see a great call in our lives. This is going to be amazing. And so I just love how he's kind of got to clarify. So he kind of changes his pace. He's like, all right, let's get back to you guys for a second. Let's talk about what you brought into this equation. Let's talk about the skills and the beauty and everything about you. Let's talk about what you're adding to this scenario. Chapter 2, you were dead. You guys, you were dead. And there's not different levels of deadness. There's not like kind of dead, like a little dead, like you look a little tired, you need a nap. We're dead. Like, we were all just dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins, which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. He's just like, you guys are just out there. You guys were like just whimsically walking around sinning. Like, that's what you brought. For anybody that has just lived in condemnation, like, man, I really just fell away from the Lord, and I feel so much shame. It doesn't really work like that. It's not like you had this awesome track record. It's not like you just wasted a ton of stuff. Like, he's like, you were actually dead, and I breathed my life into you, so just let me breathe my life into you again. That's all it means to come back to the Lord, as though he's ever left us. Like, you were dead, you were just walking around whimsically sinning among those that we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. You were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But I want you to say this with me. Say, but not anymore. Come on, say this with me. But not anymore. But not anymore. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love that he has loved us, when we were dead in our trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him, seated with him in heavenly places, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness. And we're getting down to this verse where I'm going to land today, because it has literally been my goal to start preaching shorter messages. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. Can you say those? This is not of my own doing. I didn't bring anything into this. I mean, even the work that I've done, I'm his work. I'm his workmanship. This is all about his hands, what he has done. He saved me. This is not of your own doing. It's a gift from God, not a result of your work, so that no one may boast. And here as we come back to this verse in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, his masterpiece, created for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Being a member of the body of Christ is the biggest irony. It is the biggest irony because you literally could not have a higher calling and position. You have the highest calling and position in the entire world. The entire existence of civilization could not have a more prominent role for you to play as the body of Christ. And yet at the same time, it is not about you at all. At all. It's all about God. It's all about his glory. Not of your own doing. Not that anyone could boast. It is about God. And Christians who possess humility know that everything we have is because of what has been given to us by Jesus. That's how you walk humbly as a believer. You know that everything I have. It used to be the funniest thing when I was growing up. I've always been like singing. I've been like leading worship for 20 years. And I don't know, maybe I wrestled with this more when I was younger, but like people come up when like you travel, like I still travel and lead worship and they'll be like, man, you got such a good voice and I love the way you lead worship. Just make sure you don't get a big head. Like people really think that being on the stage like is that much of an ego stroke. And maybe for some people it is, but can I just tell you in vulnerability, most of the time I'm like, I feel older than I am. And I most of the time feel like the oldest fart leading worship and just thinking to myself, why do these people still want to hear me sing? And when Kylan gets up here and leads worship, I'm like, please let's let Kylan do this more. Like, this is not an ego thing for like people that really see the kingdom, people that are really possessed with what God wants. It's not about them. Like they've been disappointed in themselves long ago. There is something so much better to live for than a stage or to have somebody respect you or to preach. We're living for the kingdom. And I have seen my own failures, my own weakness. This is not what it's about. And true humility comes when we recognize in our life that everything that we've been given that is of any value is because God gave it to us. And it's because God values it. Now, if you want to take that, the idea of value, that God has made his most valuable treasure, the church, right here, if he's made his most valuable thing that he's given to the world, now all of a sudden with this mindset, you can kind of start to make sense of Ephesians chapter 6, can't you? You can kind of start to make sense of Ephesians chapter 6 when it says, put on the armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, protect your feet, protect, like cover yourself. Why? Because you protect things that are valuable. You protect your treasures. And God is saying, you protect yourself because you are as I am, so are you in this world. So it is important. You don't just go out there wandering around. You actually go out guarding, knowing that there is a real enemy that wants you dead, and you wake up in the morning and you put on the full armor of God, knowing I am God's plan for the redemption of this world. I am God's plan to unite all things in him through what Jesus has done on the cross. He's now partnering with me so that the world would see the riches of his grace. Am I preaching or? Jeez. So at Wake Church, we've been given a high call, and it would be such a shame if we never realized what God has in store for those who believe. Can you stand with me? Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, prisoner in the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I beg you to see who you are. I beg you this week to please, this is how simple my begging is. Like, I just beg you to read Ephesians 4 through 6. Will you do that for me? Can we negotiate? Can you just like, maybe just like there's 7 days in the week, there's 6 chapters, maybe just take one day off. And don't say I said this. Don't read your Bible that day if you don't want to. But just give me 6 out of 7. Read this. Let this book transform you. Let the words, pray through it. Pray through the words. Let your identity be brought into clarity. Let transformation happen by the empowering of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Worship team, you guys can come up because we're going to sing. Because Ephesians, I didn't have time to get to that, but Ephesians, we sing. That's a big part of it. But here's my prayer for you today. There are three things. And they're right from the prayers of Paul. I pray, and pray this with me, God, that you give me a spirit of wisdom. You give me a spirit of revelation of Jesus. Come on, just pray that. Close your eyes. Just begin to pray. God, give me wisdom. God, give me the spirit of wisdom, not just wisdom. Give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me spirit of revelation. God, give me the spirit of revelation. Every person in here, God, open our eyes. Give us the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, that we would know Jesus. And the second thing we're praying is that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Come on, let's just pray that. Just ask God, God, open the eyes of my heart. No, we're not doing that song, but God, open the eyes of my heart. Give me enlightenment, God. Enlighten my heart, God. I pray, because that's still out. The verdict's still out on that. Will we live that people that have been awakened? Will we live people that have been the eyes of our heart enlightened? This is something we're praying to happen. And the third one, that we would know, there's three things within this. We'd know the hope which he's called us. Come on, let's pray for that. God, let me know the hope that you've called me, the purpose on my life, the purpose on us as the body of Christ, that we would know the hope that which we've been called. We'd know the inheritance that we have been given. And we'd know the power that is available to us who believe. Come on. Come on. God, today we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we'd never read Scripture. Scripture reads us. Every time we open it, we think that we're reading the words. It is reading us. It's telling us who we are. It's telling us who we're not. God, that you have given us these amazing words, that you've put your divine plan on paper and you've just given it to us. God, would we fall in love with the word? As a church, would we fall in love and just preach this gospel that you've given us? And God, would we recognize the magnitude of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, making us a new humanity, assembling us together here today, all because of what Jesus has done for us. And I just want to say, if there's anyone out here that, as you've been listening to this sermon, you're like, man, I need to know this Jesus that you're talking about. I want to be a part of this plan. I want to be a part of this victorious church. I want to be a part of this kingdom. I have been the one living, just wandering around by the elements of the air, the spirit of this age. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to sin anymore. I want to live for God. If that is you, and listen to me, I'm not a fluff guy, so I'm not going to try to soften this for you. If that is you, have some boldness, all right, brother? If that is you, just lift your hand. Say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. If that is you, just lift your hand and just begin to say, that's me. I just want to make a confession right now that I want to live for Jesus. I want to live for the kingdom of God. And just ask him to come and change your heart and your life. Ask him to transform you. Ask him to come in and be your savior. Ask him to come in and be your king, your Lord. And just say the words, not anymore. Something has changed. I live for someone else now. I don't live for David Olinger anymore. I live for the King of Kings now. I don't live for myself anymore. I live for him. From this place, we gather. Man, I love looking at you guys. I love looking at you guys. Because there's such promise in your faces. There's such promise. There's such victory here. I know that just looking at this place, this city can be transformed by the power of God. Can we say amen? Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. God, thank you. Let's sing a song, and after that, we'll do whatever else we do. We'll scatter. We'll scatter after that, okay?
off my feet, and there's no sound louder than the captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, sing of his promises evermore. Go on and pour out your faithfulness and let it overflow. Up in my soul, there's a life worth living, 'cause he calls me his own, and there's a hallelujah after sweet victory, and there's no sound louder than the captive set free.
Amen. You're dismissed. You're sent. And scatter.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.